The Dow is closer to the 20,000 mark, an important milestone, says Jane Barrett, CEO of Goldbean.
It's a number that hasn't been reached before. It's been a long time coming. We've come a long way in the last 8 years. And I think it really is an amazing stake in the ground for the health and pricing of the market.
Japan's central bank's painted a brighter picture of its outlook for the year ahead. At its final policy meeting of 2016, it kept interest rates on hold at minus 0.1%. The bank will also continue its stimulus program to try and boost the world's third biggest economy.
Drivers across the country are now paying on average about 24 cents more per gallon of regular unleaded compared to a year ago at this time. The Energy Department reporting in the past week prices have increased in all areas of the country, and they've been increasing for weeks. The average price is now at $2.26 a gallon. The biggest increases have been seen in the lower Atlantic and Gulf Coast regions.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning. It's 5:09 this morning, and today is Tuesday, December 20th. It's Dave Player Inc. for Steve Grzanich here on The Opening Bell on 720 WGN, and happy holidays to all of you as well. Some of the top stories we're going to be talking about this morning. Uber posted an adjusted loss of more than $800 million in the third quarter, according to media reports. The results, the information reported, put Uber on pace to record a 25% steeper operating loss than last year, of at least $2.8 billion in 2016 before interest, tax, depreciation, and amortization. General Motors will temporarily idle 5 U.S. assembly plants next month in a bid to reduce bloated inventories. Cuts focus on plants building sedans and coupes such as the Chevrolet Cruze, Cadillac CTS, and Chevy Camaro, which have been losing momentum as American motorists by the million shift from passenger cars to utility vehicles and other light trucks. Now on The Opening Bell this morning, Julie Law from Amazon.com will talk to us about the recent report from Cantor Fitzgerald, which restated their buy rating on shares of Amazon, currently having a $1,000 price target on their stock for the new year, which is totally attainable given the growing success of that company. Plus, we'll talk last-minute shopping tips, their successes in 2016, and what lies ahead for the new year. And a little later in the broadcast, Adam Dooley is the executive chef at the Brewers Association. We'll talk about the growth of craft brewing in America and what some of this year's biggest beer mergers mean for the future of craft brewing and so much more. All that coming up after we check the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning. Dow futures are pointing up. The S&P and NASDAQ futures are also up this morning. In Europe, all the indices are mixed. The FTSE is down half a point. The Nikkei is trending up a half a point. Also, oil is trading up 22 cents at $52.20 a barrel. The supply outlook remains unclear. We have some business news happening around the world yesterday and overnight. The U.S. has had the strongest jobs market in nearly a decade, thanks in part to an accelerating wage growth and low layoff rate. Federal Reserve Chair Janet Yellen said on Monday in last week's decision to raise rates, Fed officials indicated that full employment is getting closer, with the jobless rate currently at 4.6%. Boeing company said Monday it would launch a voluntary layoff program early next year and may resort to compulsory job cuts to trim costs at its commercial jetliner arm. The company expects to have cut employment at the Boeing commercial airplanes by 8% this year compared to 2015, but flagged what it termed hesitation in buyers of its big twin aisle jets. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average is on the brink of a major milestone. The Dow has scored 6 weekly gains in a row, leaving it only a little more than 100 points away from reaching the 20,000 mark. We'll be watching that, of course, for the rest of the month. Well, there's only 4 shopping days left until Christmas weekend, and many major retailers have set the deadline earlier this year for placing an order to ensure it gets delivered by Christmas. Now, the stress-free trend has been to order anything and everything you need from Amazon.com, where their non-Prime members have until December 19th to place Christmas guaranteed orders, while Prime members have all the way up to Christmas Eve for items that are eligible for same-day or two-hour delivery. And joining us this morning to talk about the online retailer, last-minute shopping tips, the $1,000 price target on their stock, a new trucking app, and what to expect in 2017 is Julie Law from Amazon.com. Good morning to you, Julie.
Good morning. How are you?
I am excellent. Happy holidays to you.
Happy Happy holidays.
Now, I first want to talk about your shareholders and future shareholders. Cantor Fitzgerald restated their buy rating on shares of Amazon, a research report that they just published yesterday. And they currently have a $1,000 price target on your stock for 2017. What is driving the success right now for Amazon.com?
You know, I have to say our secret recipe for success during the holidays is not so secret. It comes down to three and really four key things. One is great prices. We have to have the lowest prices all year, but especially during the holidays. And even this week, if customers go to our deals page, Amazon.com/deals, those lightning deals and deals of the day are the lowest prices in 365 days. So first of all, customers come to us and keep shopping with us because they know they can trust they'll find the lowest prices on Amazon. The other secret I got to tell you, not so secret, is shipping. Super fast delivery across selection, particularly this week for Prime members. They can order as late as December 22nd in most parts of the country and still get their gifts in time for the holidays.
That's amazing. And even there's some products that you offer, and I find this just fascinating, that I can offer, you know, usually on any given day, I can order something by like 10 o'clock in the morning. It's on my doorstep at like 5 o'clock in the afternoon. It's amazing to me.
Yes, you know what, in over 1,000 cities and towns in the United States, we have something called Prime Free Same Day Delivery. That is, on most days, you could order as late as noon and get that item delivered to by bedtime. So that's just astounding. And it's actually really easy to shop. Whatever you're looking for, you'll see there's like a little filter on the left. You just click on Get It Today or Prime Free Same Day, and then you'll know that everything you're looking at is eligible to be delivered the same day in that city that you live in.
Yeah, but here it is without ridiculous pricing either. So that's what makes it amazing to me. I mean, you've really reinvented how we get what we need. Now, that leads me to the next question. Amazon always has new and innovative technology in the works. You are currently working on a trucking app that will connect truck drivers with cargo shippers, similar with the way Uber connects with its drivers and riders.
I do know that we are inventing in a lot of ways as it relates to shipping. And the idea is we have to have a really diverse way that we use and work with different carriers. So we work with every carrier you can imagine. We also have our own cargo airplanes. We work with a variety of local groups in each city that we serve, including people who are doing quick same-day deliveries. So we really have to diversify our shipping this time of year so that we're able to get you presents in time.
We are talking with Julie Law from Amazon.com, and there's more with Julie after a look at your early morning traffic. All right, it's Dave Blyer in for Steve Grzanich this morning here on the Opening Bell on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning. We're following some stocks after some earnings reports came out yesterday. After a terrible November for Facebook that included third quarter earnings with seemingly scary guidance for 2017, as well as the fake news controversy, things have been relatively uneventful for the social titan this month. It's a good thing as it gives investors a moment to breathe and shares can then potentially recover. SunTrust Robinson Humphrey analyst Rodney Hull expects as much and has now upgraded his rating on Facebook to buy alongside a $142 price target. That would represent a new all-time high. Shares hit an all-time high of $133.50 a share in October, ahead of the November sell-off. United Airlines is also up a half a point this morning, and it seems as if every day there's a new autonomous vehicle program development. Google's self-driving vehicle project recently became its own company called Waymo, and it will exist under Google's parent company, Alphabet. These developments are happening at a breakneck pace, and if there's anything we've learned in the automotive industry this year, it's that driverless vehicles aren't going to be science fiction for much longer. Google stock is up 4 points. It's now 5:20, time for your money.
Hey, it's your money. The early bird usually gets a worm, or in the case of holiday shopping, the best selection. But sometimes you get better deals if you wait, especially this year. With Christmas and the first day of Hanukkah arriving on a weekend, many stores are starting their holiday clearance sales a few days early.
Folks that are procrastinating and going into the stores very late, they might be able to pick up some holiday clearance before Christmas.
Fat Wallet's Brent Shelton says some stores and websites are starting their sales this week, even today. Daria Aldinger, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Dave Player on The Opening Bell this morning on 720 WGN. We're talking to Julie Sims from Amazon.com. Now, Amazon, you guys recently announced launching this impressive bricks and mortar retail model for its Amazon Fresh grocery products, signaling really the beginning of what could end up a direct assault on grocers like Walmart. What are some of the steps here, and what's the strategy behind this?
You know, and our strategy right now around grocery is complicated, but it's really about fulfilling all the different types of needs that a customer wants. The grocery option that I use the most as a mom of three is actually with Prime Now. So that is where in 30 cities around the world, really, we offer 1 and 2 hour delivery on a vast selection of items. So me as a mom of three, including twins that are 1 year old, by the way, I'm often in the situation where I'm home and I just can't get out the door and I just need extra milk or baby wipes, or I need to get something for a birthday party I forgot that's happening tomorrow. And so I'll use Prime Now. It's a standalone app. There's tens of thousands of items, and it's delivered to my door for free as a Prime member in 2 hours, or I can pay an added fee and get it delivered in 1 hour. And I have to tell you, I usually pay for the 1 hour.
Do you really?
Because I think it's amazing. So the idea that we can keep finding ways to make your life easier is really, and supplement those different ways that you shop so that you can keep doing what you want to be doing with your family, with your friends, especially this time of year, and you know, go on doing what you want to do. That's really the key.
That has always been your business model, is obviously the innovation side of this. Now, is Chicago included in that? Is Prime Now available in Chicago?
You know what? I think so. Now I'm forgetting. I know that we do have Prime free same-day delivery in Chicago, and so you can, customers in and around the greater Chicago area, it's actually a pretty vast area, can order by noon and get it by bedtime. And I believe we have 1 and 2 hour delivery. In fact, if you go to Amazon.com/same day, you can just plug in your zip code and see exactly if you're in the coverage area. And they keep expanding really regularly. So keep checking back if for some reason you're just outside the coverage area.
You know, I'm a small business.
Frequently.
You know, I'm a small business owner, and I also do radio on WGN. I've got 3 young children. You know, to get out of the house to go get, and I mean this, to go to the grocery store is a 2-hour adventure. And gas time. So I guess when you think about that, this is absolutely a great deal. Now, with only 4 or 5 days really left to shop, what are some of the hottest trends, products, categories that you've seen at Amazon this holiday season?
Absolutely. Some of the best trends, it's holiday. So you know those things that people tend to buy are toys and electronics more than anything else. And so within the toy category in particular, the most popular toys are in those STEM toys, so science, technology, engineering, and math. Those toys that help encourage learning even when you're not in the classroom, by far one of our best sellers. They're in demand at home and at school. And everything from those Kinects toys, which are just that step beyond Legos where they actually work and have motion and motors, those are really popular. In electronics, in addition to some of our anything that sort of surrounds the television, smart home products are actually really popular. And I never thought they were giftable until I gave my mother-in-law one of those keyless entry options for her front door. So smart home technology that helps you control the lights, the thermostat, the front door, that's also really popular in technology this year.
Now, you're also giving iTunes and Netflix a run for their money, and obviously movies, music being downloaded is also very hot on Amazon. What are you seeing as the top movie and music right now?
Oh, yes. We have have a ton with, if you're a Prime member in particular, you get free Prime Video and Prime Music. And so I know with Prime Music, one of our more popular albums is from Garth Brooks this year. On Prime Video, I've heard that some of the most popular shows include, I just watched it this weekend, why am I forgetting? It's just one of those days as you get into the holiday season. There are several of our actually Amazon original TV series that are really popular. Man in the High Castle and Mozart in the Jungle. Those are two of my personal favorites, and they're also two of our highest rated TV shows on Prime Video.
Which is amazing because you think about, you know, traditional television, how we watch programming, and obviously Netflix was a big part of that. Amazon has jumped full force into this game and has had some, you know, Emmy award-winning hits already, which is absolutely incredible.
Yes, I have to tell you, our Transparent series has been winning tons of awards, the Golden Globes and Emmys, and we're super proud of the content that we're producing. It's shows that couldn't get made necessarily in a traditional Hollywood environment, and great writers and great content creators can come to Amazon and find a home for, you know, innovation and ideas, even in film, television, and music, and we're really proud of that.
You're always looking for new ways to grow. What's new for Amazon in 2017 that we'll be seeing?
You know what? I've seen two things. One, in our handmade goods, there's an area where you could shop Amazon.com/handmade. There are about 500,000 of these quality handmade crafted artisans. It's guaranteed that they're not factory made. And this has been our second holiday with this area, and it's just growing tremendously. More artists, those small businesses from all over the country and all over the world are selling in handmade. And I personally have loved shopping the handmade goods for the holidays for my family, and I know that others are feeling the same. So I anticipate handmade is going to continue to grow. And the other category we're seeing the most growth are in these voice-controlled devices like the Amazon Echo and the Echo Dot. In fact, the Echo Dot was our best seller on Thanksgiving, Black Friday, and Cyber Monday, which is just astounding. These are those far-field voice recognition, so you can say, Alexa, tell me the news. Alexa, play music. And these devices do all those things. They're like a voice-controlled speaker in your home that's smart, and it can connect to your smart home products. And my daughter loves it because she can ask Alexa to tell her a joke, or she likes to play Hamilton. Those products are just amazing. The Echo Dot is only $49.99, and the Amazon Echo is $179.99. So they're great products to bring into your home.
And you have till the 22nd to order. Julie Law of Amazon.com, thanks for all the insight, and happy holidays to you.
Happy holidays. Thank you so much.
From ABC News, Tech Trends. Uber tries to get some traction for its self-driving car program.
My goodness, it's really happening.
Uber recently unleashed a small fleet of Volvo SUVs equipped to accelerate, brake, turn, and lane change without a driver. Reaction from the public seems mixed.
I'm not sure if I would trust a driverless car yet.
I personally would try it because it eliminates human error.
But immediately after deploying the self-driving cars in San Francisco, Uber was ordered to slam the brakes on them by the California Department of Motor Vehicles. The issue? The ride-sharing service did not acquire the proper permits for operating self-driving vehicles. Uber argued that it knew about the permits but didn't need them because its test vehicles had human operators riding shotgun. Still, some residents are expressing safety concerns.
It's dangerous. I mean, what if, the whole operation were to malfunction? Couldn't that cause, like, a catastrophe? Maybe take a life?
With Tech Trends, I'm Karen Chase, ABC News.
GN. Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
And welcome back to the opening bell. It's Dave Plyer in for Steve Krasanich on this early Tuesday morning. One of the fastest growing sectors in the beer market is that of local craft brewing, a 12% share of the industry and growing. The Brewers Association of America helps more than 3,500 U.S. brewery members and 46,000 members of the American Home Brewers Association every single day. Adam Dooley is the executive chef at BA, and he joins us on the opening bell this morning. Good morning, Adam.
Good morning.
Since 2011, I was looking at the statistics here, the craft brewer industry has almost doubled from being about 5.7% of the industry, now approaching almost 13, and has about a 21% market share. That's some significant growth here.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's exciting this time to see what's going on with craft beer, with small and independent beer. The growth that's happening out there, the desire of the consumer to wanting variety and option when they go to, whether it be the grocery store, the liquor store, out to a restaurant to eat, and also the drive of all of the small and independent brewers to start brewing different styles, what they want to drink, and what they want to share with people in their neighborhoods.
So something more than hams.
Absolutely.
These days. Okay. How many U.S. breweries are currently operating in the U.S.?
We're over 4,200 right now. And, you know, with the pace that it's on, there's some statistics out there that say that, you know, two breweries a day are opening.
Yeah. I mean, I hear all the time, hey, my buddy's opening up a brewery. And I'm thinking, opening up a brewery seems like a pretty big deal. I'm looking at the trend here. 2012, there were only 2,400, grew to 2013 at 2,900. 2014 seemed like a huge growth year. There's almost 1,000 new breweries and then back up to 4,200. So it just does seem like it's unstoppable at this point.
Yeah, it absolutely does. When you look at it comparatively and you run some numbers on it of where it's at as consumption rate and what's there, there's still room for growth in every state
sure.
out there.
Sure. Where does Illinois rank compared to other states?
Illinois is, with the latest data that we have, Illinois is 10th. There's about 157 small and independent craft breweries in the state of Illinois.
Almost 600,000 barrels of beer produced here.
Absolutely.
That's a pretty good deal. What kind of guidance does the BA provide to all these independent brewers on a daily basis?
We do quite a bit of interacting because we're for brewers by brewers with the board of directors. We really take in what is happening on the pulse of the industry and what's going on and try and share that with everyone. Whether it's connecting people with the latest things that are happening in equipment, suppliers, supply chain, networking. We do one of our largest industry conferences every year. This year is upcoming in April in Washington, D.C. for the Craft Brewers Conference, where people can attend seminars, interact direct with the people that they need to be buying supplies from, whether it's from hops to malt to brewing equipment, if they're looking for expansion, canning lines. And, again, getting back to one of the greatest resources that we have is the fact that brewers, just as chefs do, will talk to each other and tell each other
so
anything.
Important. So important, because as a small business owner, you want to be able to connect with people like you. And when you're running a business, you're focused on running the business and not really taking care of the behind the scenes and the operations. And you help do that.
Absolutely.
You just released an overview and some interesting facts looking back at 2016. 99% of American breweries are classified as small and independent. Growth of small and independent breweries reached 8% by mid-year. IPAs account for nearly a quarter of the craft beer market. That's pretty incredible.
America loves their hops.
Yeah, I guess so. Low alcohol styles such as golden ales, pilsners, and pale lagers grew 33%. What's behind that?
Behind that is this, you know, you saw a style come out in the last few years that people have been calling a session IPA, or something that's a little bit more drinkable, something that you can go to and is a little bit lighter. And what's happening is the flavor is coming into those beers, and brewers are really starting to pay attention to what they can do to make a beer that is along the lines of a pilsner or a session IPA, and then get that into the people who are coming into their pub, into their brew pub, or into the restaurant's hands, and see what people can do with it. It's quite amazing when you can sit down at a restaurant or at a bar and you can have a beer and you've got all of these flavor reactions happening in your palate, and then somebody tells you that beer is sitting at 3.8 or 4.2%.
Yeah, right, exactly. 65% of craft beer drinkers select small and independent breweries due to their preference for variety. So they're seeking out more small independent companies.
They are seeking them out, and they're also popping up just as, you know, people talk about access to where things are at with where they live. You know, small breweries that are popping up in the neighborhoods are catering to what those neighborhoods are seeing, and people are having the enjoyment of being able to go down the street, either pick up a growler or some cans or some bottles, or have a pint there and then walk back home.
2016 was also a momentous year for mergers like AB InBev and SAB Miller. What does that do to the craft brewing industry? Does that help or does that hurt?
That's a loaded question there.
Yes, it is. I've heard both.
There is both.
Is there strength in putting these larger companies and the money behind these small brewers to expand, but then at the same time, are you sacrificing quality?
Well, the focus should always be back to quality,
right,
and having the best product that's out there, because when there's a bad beer that's out there or someone has a bad beer, it hurts all of us.
What's changed this year in the world of exporting? There's a 16% increase. Almost half a million barrels were exported this year.
We're seeing the demand for what we're doing here and becoming recognized as the leader for what's happening in the craft brewing industry, and people are enjoying that and seeing what's going on with hops, and you're seeing what's happening in the UK and in countries like France, where there's now, you know, over 450 breweries in the country of France, with 15 of them being within Paris, which just started in 2012.
Yeah, fast-growing in Europe as well. Just last week, the Brewers Association and the Congressional House Small Brewers Caucus, the Secretary of the U.S. Department of Agriculture requested that through the USDA that they boost hop research. What kind of breakthroughs do you see coming from that?
It's really early in that, and we've got a wonderful technical department that assists in getting the quality out there to us. But what we're looking at is, with the increase in production of beer, is access to quality ingredients.
Back to larger companies. AB InBev owns Goose Island. One of Goose Island's biggest beers, released only once a year, which is around Thanksgiving, is Bourbon County Stout. I am a huge fan of that beer myself. And I went to their big event this year. I think they were telling me that there was like 500 slots for this like pre-event that happened the Sunday before. And there was tens of thousands that applied for it. So, I mean, there's a market that's hungry for these seasonal beers.
Absolutely. Seasonals are one of the top seller categories out there. And it gives the small and independent brewer the range to brew something that not only that they want to brew, but they can share with the community that's around them. Bourbon County is a great example of what it's done in Chicago and around here. And people seek it out to have it to either drink now or to age for later. And you see that popping up with breweries all across the country of how they're identifying themselves with really doing those things with the seasonals, because it's something that gets people in the moment with what they can enjoy and what they're looking to have. And it tells a great story of the brewery, too, because it gives you an option to try something new.
When you hold that Bourbon County Stout up to somebody that is a great beer drinker, you know, a month or two after it's been released, they look at it like it's gold.
Absolutely.
They do. They do. What are some of the other seasonal beers that are hot? Because even when I'm shopping for beer, like we just did for a holiday party, they're pushing me toward, hey, you know, there's not much of this left. You definitely want to have some of this.
Well, you know, one of the things that I was actually just talking about this last night with a few people here in Chicago is that during this time right now, specifically, you know, as we're getting into the winter and the holiday months, what people see is you see people starting to try a little bit more dark beer, whether it's a stout or whether it's a porter or whether it's a holiday ale or something like that. And there's this thing out there right now where we'll all quietly talk of, like, dark beer is really hard to sell right now. It's really hard to get somebody to try a stout, to try a porter, to try a Christmas ale, to try something that's barrel-aged. You know, beer geeks aside and people who are going out to seek that out, but, you know, IPAs and these session beers are really driving a lot of it. And so when these seasonals come out, it creates an excitement.
Yeah.
It creates an excitement among the brewer.
Because I was a lighter beer drinker and a pale ale, and when I started drinking Bourbon County, it kind of allowed me to explore a little bit and you know, expand my horizons a little bit. Yeah,
just as, like, we'll refer to, like, a Saison as a style that's like a gateway beer, where you'll get somebody new in to try it. This is something that brings them into the beer. The seasonals do that for a lot of these darker beers that can be heavier, can be that, because you're getting the story behind it, and that story behind it really makes you, brings you into the moment, and then you may go off and explore other styles as well from there.
Adam Dooley for the Brewers Association. Adam, thank you, and happy holidays to you and your family.
Thanks so much.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
It is The Opening Bell on 720 WGN. Good morning to you once again. It's Dave Plyer in for Steve Grzanich this morning. From the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, Dow futures are pointing up, as are S&P and NASDAQ futures as well. And now for the latest on commodities and agriculture, here is Orion Samuelson. Good morning, Orion.
Good morning, David. Well, it's raining in Argentina, so the markets are lower in America. Why is that happening? Because Argentina produces crops that compete with ours in the world market, and if they're going to get good crops, then we'll probably have downward pressure here. Corn, soybeans, wheat, down a little bit yesterday, weighed down by profit-taking, and the expectations for more crop-friendly rainfall in Argentina. But the export business keeps on keeping on. The U.S. soybean and corn market getting, again, attention. USDA reported export sales of 264,000 tons of U.S. soybeans going to China and 128,000 tons of U.S. corn going to Japan. But despite all of that, we ended the day with wheat down 2 3/4, corn down 2 1/4, soybeans down 14 cents. Kind of a strange day in livestock futures trade at the Mercantile Exchange yesterday. The nearby hog contract was higher, the rest of the month's lower. The nearby cattle contract was lower, the rest of the month's higher. February lean hogs gained $1.05 yesterday, but December live cattle down 62 cents. January feeder cattle did gain $1.02 yesterday. Again, going into the holiday market closings, keep in mind that markets will close at noon on Friday ahead of the Christmas weekend. Have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thank you, Orion. Now the Associated Bank Desk Market Outlook for Tuesday, December 20th, 2016. Here's what we're going to be following today. As far as the economy is concerned, Redbook, the weekly measure of comparable store sales at chain stores, discounters, and department stores, is out later this morning. Redbook tracks week-to-week change, month-to-date change, and year-on-year change. As for earnings, reports are due today. From BlackBerry, CarMax, Carnival Cruises, FedEx, General Mills, Navistar, Nike, and Valspar Corporation. We'll be looking at that throughout the day as well. And today is Mud Day after Dr. Samuel Mudd, who aided John Wilkes Booth by operating on his fractured leg but never reported it. He was sentenced to life in prison as pardoned by President Andrew Johnson and was released from prison in 1869. Now, despite repeated attempts by family members and others to have it expunged, his conviction was never overturned. Now, Dr. Mudd's name has been dragged through the mud since his sentencing, giving the term, "Your name is Mudd," a whole new meaning.